This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's a new year, and I have some very exciting news to share with you with today's guest. There's a new nutrition initiative that was just launched, which promises to address America's very serious healthcare crisis. You know, we're continually pointing out the limitations and drawbacks of our expensive healthcare system, which delivers services that are often inequitable, but also often, you know, pretty harmful, that there are a lot of side effects associated with high-tech interventions that are over the top. Over-aggressive intervention is responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths annually due to prescribed medications that are correctly prescribed, but may have harmful consequences. And we're dealing with an epidemic of chronic diseases. I have a story in front of me. Healthy diet could save $50 billion in healthcare costs. The research concluded that suboptimal diet costs approximately $300 per person or $50 billion nationally, and may account for a very high percentage of heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes costs in this country. The so-called NCDs, non-communicable diseases, those are the challenge these days, because we spend a lot of money treating these degenerative diseases, diseases that could be alleviated with nutrition. But nutrition science is kind of in a woeful state. Medical students receive minimal instruction in medicine. Nutrition, I certainly did. And so to meet the challenge, there's a new initiative, and to tell us all about it, Corinne Bush. Corinne has a master's of science. She is a certified nutrition specialist, as am I, and she's co-founder and director of nutrition science and education as part of a new initiative, the American Nutrition Association. So welcome to Intelligent Medicine. It's a pleasure having you, and a happy new year.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here, Ron.
Okay, well, you've been there since the inception. By the way, you know, this is not brand new. This is actually an amalgamation of pre-existing organizations to create an umbrella organization that's dedicated to the principle of personalized nutrition. So give us some background.
Sure. Well, and you've been with us for a long time, too. So, you know, I'd like to acknowledge you, Dr. Hoffman, for the absolutely crucial role that you've played in manifesting personalized medicine and personalized nutrition in healthcare, and also realizing the mission of the American Nutrition Association. So we are a family of nonprofits that form the Professional Association for the Science and Practice of Personalized Nutrition. And so when you and I started in practice, you know, a few decades ago, there was no personalized medicine or personalized nutrition profession. And so, you know, speaking for myself, I had to seek out those components that I needed. I had to educate myself, get certified. I had to beat the pavement to advocate for my right to practice.
Me too. It really was a struggle, and it was like assembling a patchwork quilt. The instruction was not there in medical school, so we had to go hither and thither and yon, garnering bits and pieces of nutrition education, attending conferences. They were few and far between in those days. Now there's a, you know, like five conferences every weekend. You could be on the road all the time. But right. In the early days, there really was no reliable source.
Right. And so that's why we exist. So we have gathered these crucial nonprofit organizations, each with a very pivotal role, but each bringing only one part of the puzzle. So we have gathered five organizations together under the aegis of the American Nutrition Association so that we can have all the components of a personalized nutrition profession. And so to do that, we educate, we certify, we advocate, and we connect to champion personalized nutrition so that we can equip practitioners with the tools of personalized nutrition. That's what we do.
So we use that term personalized nutrition to denote that it's not really one size fits all. I think one of the problems with nutrition recommendations that have come down from on high, from, you know, the so-called authorities, American Heart Association, government, which is responsible for the disastrous nutrition pyramid, it's been sort of a one-size-fits-all approach. You know, reduce sodium, cut fat, eat lots and lots of fruits and vegetables and whole grains. I mean, you know, the basic stuff, but it hasn't really cut it, has it, for the health of Americans?
Not at all. And in fact, some of those guidelines have really done more harm than good if we take a look back at the food guide pyramid, for one. And I mean, there are some foundational aspects of a healthy diet for sure, like eating more vegetables, as you point to, but to really transform the health of a suffering individual. And we've seen this in our practice over and over again, haven't we? Where with personalized interventions, when we can uncover the uniqueness of a person, their biochemical uniqueness, and sometimes we have their genetics, that's not often necessary, but the deeper we can go, the more tailored we can be in our recommendations, the more of a transformation that we can provide, or to enable, I should say, our patients and clients to really transform from a suffering, sick individual into a vibrant, healthy person who's living up to their health potential.
Right. And some of these tools are just coming online. So I think, you know, in a way, the way we can look at this nutrition revolution is that it's sort of in its infancy. It's sort of like where computers were maybe, you know, in the 1980s and 1990s when we first got our clunky desktops and, you know, we didn't have Google to look things up. You know, so we had to search high and low for information. But more and more, there are more studies, there are more tools, there's genetic analysis, there's the science of omics, which is looking at molecular parameters that can be ascertained much more cheaply than in the past. I mean, literally thousands and thousands of measurements can be done less expensively. There's computing power that's harnessed to make this happen. And then there's even something called microbiomics, which is, you know, looking at our intestinal tracts and looking at the role that the bacteria in our guts play in terms of translating the foods we eat into the nutrients we need, or the toxins and harmful substances that undermine our health. I mean, there's so much going on, and we need to educate health professionals beyond let's serve, you know, low-fat Jell-O to patients in the hospital or give them a can of Ensure. I guess, you know, that's unfortunately the state of the art in some places.
For sure.
So is in this paradigm, you know, some criticisms of some of the major nutrition organizations in the past have been that they have been captives of, you know, whatever interest groups fund them, you know, whether it's, you know, the wheat board or the dairy board or the meat board, or whoever's underwriting their research. The research seems to correspond to whatever goals the food industry has in promoting one or another type of diet. Is ANA susceptible to that kind of influence?
Absolutely not. We are the antithesis of that kind of thinking, in that we don't have any ideology attached to our work. We take us where the science leads us, so we are science-based and unbiased personalized nutrition. And so we really feel that nutrition should be in the toolbox of every health professional, and all health professionals should be able to practice nutrition to the level of their training, and that this practice should be, you know, not delivered with any corporate influence or anybody's influence of the government or corporations. And so actually we have developed a really groundbreaking corporate funding policy whereby we interrogate the corporations that would like to be in relationship with us to ensure that their science is sound, they're transparent in their relationship with us and us with them, and that they are committed to integrity as we are. So we've developed a policy by which we vet corporations that choose to be in relationship with us, and some of them do pass that bar and some of them do not.
So you're not going to put the ANA seal of approval on a box of Cheerios because you get a big contribution from General Foods. You know, that's not likely to happen.
That's not going to happen. No, okay. That's not going to happen.
Or Cocoa Puffs or something like that.
Right. Right. Okay. And I think that's a really important point to bring out, because I think your audience and all of the public are rightfully very, very concerned and very confused about the information that they get, and somewhat cynical, right? Because we know that a lot of the advice that we see out there in that, you know, miasma has been bought and paid for, and that's, you know, that's very unfortunate.
I think they just did a survey of millennials, and millennials tend to be, you know, a little, shall we say, jaded and skeptical, but a very, very high percentage of millennials had virtually no confidence in nutrition recommendations made by major public health organizations. They just kind of like, you know, they become nihilists when it comes to listening to advice, because they've been burned. You know, they've seen so much advice crash and burn. You know, the recommendation to go on ultra low fat diets. A lot of millennials are embracing keto friendly diets and so on. In reaction to, you know, being disillusioned with recommendations.
Yes. And in fact, if you go to our website, theana.org, you can find there our corporate relationship policy. It's right there very transparently. It's under standards on the website. So I invite the audience to take a look.
Okay. So, you know, when it comes to nutrition, I mean, you know, you can say there are certain varieties, you know, eat more broccoli, you know, reduce your sugar, don't drink, you know, sugary beverages, blah, blah, blah. Is there room for, you know, other more cutting edge nutrient interventions within the ANA framework, you know, such as the use of supplements, vitamins, minerals, nutraceuticals? Is that part of the portfolio for the study and dissemination of knowledge by ANA?
Sure. So as we, you know, our certificates are highly trained in the biochemistry of nutrition and nutrients. And so with the personalized information that we gather on someone, we can see where those deficits are and appropriately recommend supplements. So you and I know that now we have very broad and deep assessments available to us, and so we can really take a look at an individual's status in terms of all micronutrients and amino acids, and sometimes when we link that up with their genetics, we could say, aha, they have a block in this pathway that would produce this nutrient. No wonder they would need X nutrient to enable that pathway to function optimally. So for sure, that is part of the curriculum of the and our competencies that we've outlined within the Certified Nutrition Specialist certification.
So what is the CNS credential? And, you know, we both achieved it. And what value of it might be to an aspiring health professional? And who's it open to? I mean, can anybody, like, say we have, some wonky intelligent medicine listener in the public who says, yeah, I've been listening to Dr. Hoffman for years and years. I think I'm going to go for the exam. Is that a reasonable proposition, or do you have to have a licensed healthcare practitioner of some sort to get the credential?
Well, the Certified Nutrition Specialist credential does carry with it a set of criteria to earn the credential. It's actually the gold standard for advanced nutrition practice in America. And so that individual must have a master's degree or higher and complete graduate level coursework in nutrition science also a 1,000 hours of supervised practice experience, passing a rigorous board exam, which we'll, you will tell us none of the details of, and also
my lips are sealed.
And then completing educational requirements, continuing education requirements to stay on top and cutting edge on our field. So the CNS, however, I really would like to point out, is not cabined only to nutrition professionals. So nutrition is kind of different in that it is both a profession itself, but it's also the tool that should be in the toolbox of all healthcare practitioners. Mm-hmm. So we make that open to physicians like yourself. You've been a CNS for many years, as you said, but also dietitians and naturopaths and any that can meet this level of education and experience and exam requirements.
Right. And it, is it open to physician assistants, chiropractors, RNs, people in those professions?
Mm-hmm. It's open to all of those professions as long as they have completed graduate level coursework in nutrition science, which is outlined. That too is outlined on the website. So mm-hmm. we welcome all healthcare practitioners to achieve the CNS certification.
And the idea, you know, and I got to say, nutrition is really popular these days. And, you know, and there are a lot of, you know, wonderful people out there who are purveying nutrition information. There are health coaches, which require, you know, some degree of training. But I think that this sets the bar a little higher for more rigorous nutrition training because, well, you know, I hear really crazy stuff. I mean, I hear, you know, patients say, you know, the guy in the gym, he was telling me about this amazing diet. And, you know, it's just... Well, you you subsist on bone broth for 30 days. And I go, you know, yeah, let me tell you about that. You know,
right.
From a scientific nutrition standpoint, you could probably get some serious trouble doing that. But, you know, there's some people who maybe punching a little bit above their weight category, shall we say, when it comes to purveying nutrition information. And this CNS credential, I think, is a way of... you know, establishing a sort of standard that people can aspire to demonstrate to the public that they really have achieved proficiency in nutrition.
Yeah. And we see the Certified Nutrition Specialist certification as the level of certification to provide what we would call medical nutrition therapy or real deep therapeutic personalized nutrition. But we also believe and advocate for all practitioners to be able to use nutrition to the level of their training. So there's room for health coaches, isn't there, in mm-hmm. In education. And, there, you know, so within our, in fact, within the ANA, if you go to the website, any of the audience who are interested in joining, we do have different levels of membership, the professional membership, but we also have other levels of membership, some of which are free. So for nutrition enthusiasts and for those that are, you know, just seeking more information, the membership is free at theana.org. So mm-hmm. we hope you'll check it out.
And the conferences are great. We recently together attended a conference in San Diego, and that was really superb. And it really it focused, interestingly, on environmental toxins. Now, you might say, well, that's a little bit out of the mission statement of a group that's associated with nutrition and diet. But boy, is that on target, because our food supply is so laced and our water supply is so laced with environmental toxins that it really becomes part of the conversation. And it's so much of the drive towards degenerative disease is triggered by these substances that... you know, it's a social issue, too, because we really need to have a movement that calls for clean, organic food that's properly sourced and that's not laced with harmful ingredients like glyphosate and so on. So, you know, I think that that is a dimension of ANA that is important because, you know, we're also calling for a certain degree of social change, right?
For sure. And what we seek to do is to educate the world on all of these topics so that and so bring that evidence-based science to bear on all of the education that we do. So we had top scientists from around the world talking about environmental toxicity and how it intersects with human nutrition and how we can best avoid the toxins in the first place. I mean, that's the first thing I tell my clients is, you know, your first job is to prevent the input of toxins, but how can we then best handle the toxins that are ubiquitous and always present, no matter how hard we try to avoid them? So it's getting the information out there, and then the public can make their choice.
Yeah, I was just blown away by an article that was actually reprised from 2018, again in 2019, and it was about personal health, personal care products used by young girls are associated with an acceleration of the onset of puberty because of the hormonal influence of some of these so-called gender benders, endocrine disruptors, xenoestrogens that are in ordinary products like toothpaste, hair coloring, and grooming products, soaps, disinfectants, things like that. So these find our way into our food supply deliberately or accidentally. And these are the things that we're consuming. We're all laden with these toxins. Okay, this is a good point at which to pause because we want to divide our podcast into two parts. We're starting the New Year's with exciting news about the launch of a tremendous initiative, the American Nutrition Association, the ANA. And with us is Corinne Bush. She's co-founder and director of Nutrition, Rescience, and Education at ANA. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.